Today we want to think on the subject, arriving right on schedule. As a child, I remember we used to love listening to and watching The Lone Ranger. It seemed like always a bank was being robbed or a train was being held up or some kind of crime, and it always looked like the outlaws would accomplish what they wanted to. And then right in the nick of time, the Lone Ranger would arrive and he would capture them and stop them. He was always in the nick of time, but it was always right on schedule. Today we see Islam taking over a lot of the world and communism, and we see apostasy increasing and sin of all of its forms worsens. World conditions are becoming more severe and tension is increasing. And we see hurricanes and earthquakes and wildfires. All of these things are taking place in these last days before Christ's return. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, we read, "This second epistle, beloved, I write in, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." He's talking about the flood in Noah's day. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So the reason it seems to be so long before Christ returns, he's giving ample opportunity for men to repent and come to Christ and receive him. But then notice verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Yes, Christ is coming. And we read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." You see, Christ is coming, and he'll arrive right on schedule, no matter how bad things get here in this life. He'll arrive right on schedule. Now, our first thought is the absence of the church. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, we read, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation," or the hour of trial, "which shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Now, the Apostle John was writing to seven churches, and each of these churches represent a different condition of churches in the last days. And this one in chapter 3, where I just read verse 10, was the church of Philadelphia. And this church represents the true New Testament church which will exist in the last days before the great tribulation takes place. And notice he said to them, I will keep thee from the hour of trial or the great tribulation that shall come upon the entire world. You see, Christ will keep the true church, every believer, from the great tribulation. We shall be raptured out. And then he said, this time, the great tribulation, is a time that will try, when he will try them that dwell upon the earth. And that word dwell is a strong word. It has the idea of permanence. Those who have settled down in the world as their permanent home, they are earth dwellers. And this word is used again and again in the book of Revelation. And then notice in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth? You see, during the great tribulation, even though every believer is raptured out before, yet God, there will be people saved, Israelites, and people will be saved during that time, and many will be martyred and killed. And during the great time of judgment that comes upon the earth during that time, many yet will be saved and suffer for the cause of Christ during this awful, awful time. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, we read, For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You see, that's going to be an awful time, and yet he will keep us believers. Everybody that's a Christian during this age, he will keep us from that awful time. In Revelation chapter 3, where we read about the Church of Philadelphia, chapter 3 is the last mention of the churches in the book of Revelation. After this, there's no longer any mention. That's because we aren't there. We're in heaven. We've been raptured out. Now, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we read, After this, and now remember, he's referring to after the time where he talks to the seven churches. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking unto me, which said, Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now remember, this is the Apostle John writing, and God revealed unto him things that are going to happen during the following the time of the church and things that are going to happen here on earth. And he says, come up hither. And even though he's talking to the Apostle John, yet that's a tremendous picture of what will happen to us who are believers. We will be called up yonder. We will be changed and taken up and meet Christ in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, secondly, after the rapture of the church, then we see the great tribulation starting, and we see the character of the tribulation. So secondly, we want to think about what the great tribulation will be like, the character of the tribulation. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, we read, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You see, during the great tribulation, God pours out his wrath upon sinful mankind here on the earth. And it's going to be an awful time as God pours out his wrath. In Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7, we read, and I saw another angel in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. You see, his judgment is going to be poured out upon the earth. And as we've heard before, there's going to be 144,000 Jewish believers that are going to be saved and go throughout the entire world preaching the gospel, and many are going to be saved during that time. Now, looking back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, we read, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober or serious. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober or serious, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation or deliverance from this earth and trials. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we've already, or whether we're alive yet when that takes place, or whether we've already died, we should live together with him. And then notice he says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, or encourage one another, even as also you do. Now notice during in that portion he says, brethren, we are not in darkness, and we are not appointed under wrath. You see, God's wrath will be poured out upon the world then, but we are not of those that will experience the wrath of God. Rather, we're going to be in heaven, enjoying heaven and eternity with the Lord. Now, thirdly, we see Israel and the tribulation. And looking back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 29 to 31, we read, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things are come upon you, even in the last days, if you turn to the Lord your God and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore unto them. Now, this portion in Deuteronomy is the first mention of the tribulation. And in this portion, he brings out the special relationship which he has with Israel during this period of time. And in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 4 through 11, we read, and these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, and a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for the great day, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered you, yet will I not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure, and will not leave you altogether unpunished. Now, verse 7 refers to this as a time of Jacob's trouble. You see, the nation of Israel right now is living in unbelief. Yes, there are a few people that are saved, they're Jewish people, but as a nation, they are living in unbelief, and they will enter into the great tribulation. And They shall suffer there, but God will deliver them, will not allow them as a nation to be destroyed. And they shall go through the great tribulation, and they shall be saved. They shall recognize Christ as their Messiah, and they shall come through the great tribulation and enter into the millennial reign of Christ. And they will sit under the reign of God, and David will be their king, and they shall enjoy peace and rest and quiet. Now, verse 7 says, that day is great, none like it. You see, as bad as things can get, nothing in this world now and to come will be as bad as it will be during the time of great tribulation. And at the end of that 7-year period of tribulation, Israel, as I said, will believe. There will be Israel's restoration, and there will be tranquility, peace, and joy during the millennial reign of Christ. Now, turning to Matthew chapter 24, the book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, we read, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, and he's referring to the Antichrist who enters the temple and stands where the priests are supposed to stand, then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains, flee for safety. And then in verse 21 we read, for then there shall be great tribulation, such as is not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And as we mentioned, there will be tribulation, suffering as has never happened before in that period of time of the great tribulation. Now, in Romans chapter 11, the book of Romans chapter 11, let me find it here, Romans 11, verse 11, we read, I say then, have they stumbled, referring to Israel? Have they stumbled that they should fall or be destroyed? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. You see, through the fall of Israel, the gospel has been taken forth and preached to the nations of the world, and Gentiles have been saved, and the church started, and the church has grown, and many, many have been saved. And then we read verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Until the time that the church is complete and then raptured up. And then in verse 26 we read, and so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, or from Israel. And so in between the time when Israel went back into unbelief until Israel was restored and believed, that's where the church was started, and then the church raptured up. And then coming back to before the great tribulation starts, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 concerning when the church is taken out and we don't have to go through that great time of tribulation. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And then we all, we who are yet alive when that takes place, shall be changed, and we shall go to be with the Lord." Now it's interesting what Paul said in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 31 to 32. Ephesians chapter 5, 31 to 32. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now here in verse 31, he speaks of a woman leaving her home and becoming the wife of a man, and speaks of a marriage relationship or ceremony. And that's a picture of what it's going to be like when the church, every true believer, is raptured up and we meet Christ in the air. You see, the believers are the bride of Christ, and Christ is the bridegroom, and we shall meet him and we shall be with him forever and ever. Yes, we shall be taken out of this life, of this world, before the great tribulation, that awful time of suffering and judgment. And Christ will come to take us out, and he will come right on schedule. So remember, no matter how bad things seem to be getting in the world today, Christ is coming, and he will be right on schedule, right according to his plan. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4:18 says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Every believer can be comforted that no matter how bad it gets now, we will be raptured out and we won't have to go through that awful tribulation. But in closing, we ask the question, are you ready? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you a child of God? If you are, you'll be one of them that are raptured out and meet Christ in the air. But if you've never made that important decision, then make it today. Ask God to forgive your sin. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life and be your Savior. And he will save you and make you one of his children. And you will be able to go up with him at the rapture, and you will miss that awful time of great tribulation, and you can experience, no matter how bad things get before the rapture, you can experience joy and peace and blessing, and you can be comforted knowing that Christ is coming and he'll take us home to be with himself. Father, thank you for the wonderful message that we have, the wonderful truth that when Christ comes, we shall be taken out of this earth and meet Christ in the air, and we will not have to go through that awful period of great tribulation. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful hope that we have, and thank you that no matter how bad things get in the world today, we are going to be taken out to be with you forever. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.